answers.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My great fellow Americans, I am filled with grief and anger at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk on a college campus in Utah. Charlie inspired millions, and tonight, all who knew him and loved him are united in shock and horror. Charlie was a patriot who devoted his life to the cause of open debate and the country that he loved so much, the United States of America. He fought for liberty, democracy, justice, and the American people. He's a martyr for truth and freedom, and there's never been anyone who was so respected by youth. Charlie was also a man of deep, deep faith, and we take comfort in the knowledge that he is now at peace with God in heaven.
The words of President Trump yesterday, hours after it was confirmed that Charlie Kirk had been killed, assassinated. And I stress that word, assassinated. He was assassinated because of his views and his thought on life, which included, as you heard President Trump say, devotion to God and family and country. Our nation is at a loss. I'm trying to find a reason for that, and yet it's right there in front of us. A four-letter word that I consider to be stronger than the word love. Hate. Hate is what really killed Charlie Kirk. Aside from the man that pulled the trigger and that plotted it and others that might have supported him, it was hate. Why kill a man who is not calling for any kind of violence, not leading anything but young people at universities into thinking for themselves and hearing from the other side and debating if they wanted to. His attitude to students was, if you disagree with me, come to the first of the line. We put you up right away. And he didn't do it to shame them or embarrass them, but to educate them. And, of course, 24 years ago, this date, September 11, 2001, we had our 9/11, our modern-day Pearl Harbor. Today, President Trump was at a wreath-laying ceremony, and so many ceremonies have been spread across the face of our nation, recognizing and honoring those who died not only that day, but casualties that came later, maybe from what they breathed while they were trying to retrieve bodies, to our troops dying in Afghanistan, Iraq, in search for those responsible. We're going to spend more time on 9/11 later in this hour. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday, from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. How do you do that? You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. And everything goes up as a podcast when we're complete. At News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And we're on numerous podcast platforms around the nation, around the world to that extent. So if you cannot stay with us all through this hour or any hour of any day, know that you can find it in our podcast. Later in this hour, in addition to our tribute to 9/11, we have a vice chair of Young Republicans and his view on the death of Charlie Kirk and what it means for the movement and the young people that saw Charlie as a leader, not a cult leader, but someone putting them and hoping they would stay on the right track the rest of their lives. Maybe in some cases, giving them answers no one else could, no one else wanted to even discuss. The FBI does have, they are pretty certain, the rifle that was used to kill Kirk.
This morning I can tell you that we have recovered what we believe is the weapon to be that was used in yesterday's shooting. It is a high-powered bolt-action rifle. That rifle was recovered in a wooded area where the shooter had fled. So the FBI laboratory will be analyzing this weapon. Investigators have also collected footwear impression, a palm print, and forearm imprints for analysis. Now, I understand there are a lot of questions about motive. I assure you that all leads, tips, and tips are being fully investigated. As of this morning, we have received more than 130 tips. We thank the community for that. The FBI has brought every resource to bear, and we will continue to do so throughout the course of this investigation.
And the FBI has released photos of a young man dressed all in black with some kind of display on his shirt. It's hard for me to make out. It appears to be a U.S. flag and maybe a gun imprinted over it. It's not clear to me from what I can tell here. And they have a tip line open, simply 1-800-CALL-FBI. So they got photos out and everything else for information that would lead to the killer. And here's something you may not know. Less than an hour after Kirk was shot at Utah Valley University, less than an hour, there was a shooting at Evergreen High School in Colorado. Three victims shot, injured, one dead, believed to be the shooter, using a handgun. Male student, self-inflicted gunshot wound. Of course, they're still trying to piece that together. That became the site of the 47th shooting taking place at a school in the U.S. so far this year. 24 on college campuses, 23 on K-12 school grounds. The fact that it happened less than an hour after Kirk was shot, it would be an assumption that that shooter was aware of the Charlie Kirk incident. So far, no additional information verifying or any kind of motive stated. But it had to be, again, hate. You can't get around that. Hate. Senator Ted Cruz on Charlie Kirk.
I'm heartbroken. I'm physically sick. Charlie was a good friend. I first met Charlie when he was 18 years old, when he was this young kid with a vision for Turning Point, a vision to energize young people, to excite them, to get them involved. And Charlie, every word you said about him is true. He was bold, he was courageous, he was fearless, he was cheerful, he was a happy warrior. He went and engaged those who disagreed with him, and he was happy to listen to their arguments, to engage with them on substance. And he made an unbelievable difference impacting young people. You were talking about your cell phone. I've been getting texts the instant this happened. Text from friends of mine who says, you know, my high school kid was inspired by Charlie, my son, my daughter, all sorts of people that I didn't even know he was impacting.
And that's often how we are. We never know what we say or what we do will be witnessed by someone else and impact them in some way. Pray that it's a good impact. But we have those in our midst across the nation. And I'm not going to identify them as left or right. They are wrong for our nation. They preach hate and death. Yes, if you're looking for some of the actions directly, anyone who believes that a child is able to make a decision to have a sex change, anyone that believes killing a baby in the womb, yes, those I call out. I know right there I touched a nerve for some of you. because you support abortion, at least maybe in some cases. We have a difference. We could discuss it. We don't pick up guns. Once again, Senator Cruz.
And I got to say, one of the things that was most incredible about Charlie is he gave voice to the gospel. He was a Christian. He loved God. I know where Charlie is right now. He is with Jesus right now today.
I believe that. Those of us who are Christians, we certainly believe that. And I remind you, we all fall short in our faith. Not one of us is perfect. Not one. We are all sinners. And there is no reason to justify and find distinction between this sin is greater or lesser than that sin. A sin is a sin. Unfortunately, some sins lead to the death of innocents. There are those, unfortunately, celebrating the Kirk assassination. And there are those who say we need to lower the rhetoric, lower the heat, but can we do it? Because then some of the media, which is one of the outlets, is often tone deaf.
President Trump, this was somebody he knew personally, I will acknowledge, and obviously is impacted by it. But he put out a 4-minute video, and I'm not going to play the video. I don't want to play the video. But there was a line at the end that I think is, I just wanted to raise and read. At the end of this 4-minute video, he says, "For years, those on the radical left have compared wonderful Americans like Charlie to Nazis and the world's most worst mass murderers and criminals. This kind of rhetoric is directly responsible for the terrorism that we're seeing in our country today, and it must stop right now. And obviously there's a lot of rhetoric that is problematic. A lot of it is coming from one particular side and from one particular building. But what can be done? I fear when this is an escalation already in less than 24 hours of this shooting.
That's Jen Psaki. Not going to play the audio from the president. Why would you not do that? And if you're going to quote him, why again wouldn't you let him say it directly? I could come up with some explanations, may not be the accurate ones, but I can know deep in my heart they're not going to do it because they don't want Trump on their air, period. But she wants to take his line when she said, those on the radical left, is she considering that a call to action against those on the left, radical or not? And she quotes Trump as saying this kind of rhetoric, calling Charlie Kirk and others linking them to Nazis is responsible for our terrorism. It must stop. And she says, obviously what Trump just said, that's a lot of rhetoric that's problematic, and it's coming from one particular side, one building. She's specifically identifying Trump in the White House. I don't consider those remarks as, quote, problematic or even torch-carrying fire to create more violence. But I know that it's in the matter of how you hear things. MSNBC had something happen that they had to back up.
One of the Doge employees was allegedly attacked in Washington, D.C. That's what Donald Trump used as a justification to send in federal troops into Washington, D.C. to get things under control. Yeah. You can imagine the administration using this as a justification for something.
We don't know if this was a supporter shooting their gun off in celebration, or so we have no idea about this. But following up on what was just said, he's been one of the most divisive, especially divisive younger figures in this, who is constantly sort of pushing this sort of hate speech.
Yeah, so that comment got him in some pretty big trouble. MSNBC quickly addressed how inappropriate it was, writing, quote, "During our breaking news coverage of the shooting of Charlie Kirk, Matthew Dode made comments that were inappropriate, insensitive, and unacceptable. We apologize for his statements, as has he. There is no place for violence in America, political or otherwise."
And they cut him from their staff. But they didn't do anything with Katie Turr, that had been making remarks that Trump authorized National Guard troops for D.C. because a member of the Doge staff was attacked. That's a flat-out lie. And then she's suggesting, how will Trump use the killing of Kirk to basically bring in more troops and become a dictator, is what she's suggesting. We can have disagreements, you and I, but you cannot suddenly jump to that kind of conclusion unless you're deranged. Seriously. We do not have to have that kind of animosity. Let me take you to a case of war, legitimate war, 1914. Christmas Eve, and on Christmas Day of 1914, World War I, soldiers on the Western Front broke from the war and met in the no man's land between the trenches, the way war was fought at that time. Most bloody, grisly battle you can imagine. Nothing from distance. You're basically on top of your victim, or they're on top of you. Soldiers from the British and German sides on Christmas Eve began singing, started on one side and picked up and echoed on the other. And then as some of them gathered together in the no man's land in between, singing Silent Night, Oh Holy Night. For that period of time on Christmas Eve and into Christmas Day, there was peace. Some going out to the middle of the ground, the no man's land that no one would dare cross previously. And for that period of time, they exchanged some gifts, maybe shared prayers. There was an unofficial ceasefire when they're in the midst of World War I. If that can happen when enemies of two different nations are battling in an actual war, can we not do that in this nation when we're battling with words and, unfortunately, some turning to direct violence? We can. But first, we have to find our nation again and go back to our values. A guest from the Young Republicans coming up. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington. Always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Meguiar Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Meguiar is a household name because Meguiar understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Meguiar Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Connellville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Before we wrap up today's program, we're going to pay tribute again and remembering Never Forget 9/11. That's before we wrap up today's program. But for right now, continuing on the story involving the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the leader of Turning Point USA, joining us now is Nick Redinger, a vice chair of the Young Republicans. Welcome aboard, Nick. Glad to have you with us. You got you there, Nick? All right, we're trying to make sure we got it reestablished. This has been happening lately, and I apologize, folks. It does give me an opportunity to point something out. As much as we've been talking about those who have been mouthing and lip words about let's find peace and quit all the outrage, there are media outlets that still seem to be on the edge of trying to put a blame on Trump or anyone else, and even blame Kirk. But I do need to share with you in balance, even on CNN, their chief media analyst denouncing Kirk's assassination. He said Kirk was a hugely successful political field organizer, TikTok influencer, radio host, nonprofit leader, public speaker, all rolled up in one telegenic figure. That's their way of praising him. Accepted. Nick, we've got you online now. All right, we're having trouble with the board again, and I'm sorry. We're not going to battle through this anymore. We'll just apologize to Nick and say for some reason we're not getting it. And I hear him on the phone, but we can't get him to come through the control board, and if we can't get him through the control board, you can't really make out what he's saying. But he is, again, a member of the Young Republicans. We did have in the preceding hour John Daniel Davidson with us from the Federalist talking about how we turn the corner on this. And it begins, I do agree with John and others with the Federalist, the left, by the left, I mean those who live and thrive with hate, that we've got to come to a reckoning, and we've got to punish those guilty of crimes against society, be they going after your political party, your enemy's political party. We have law and order, and with law and order, we should be able to find that we can have discussions without going at each other's throat, literally. As you heard earlier, the FBI did announce they had recovered a bolt-action rifle they believe was used. I'd mentioned how CNN was trying to pay some tribute. That's trying to offer sincere condolences and praise for him. The Washington Post did as well, talking about how he was doing his Turning Points America comeback tour, Utah Valley University, speaking from what he had dubbed the Prove Me Wrong table, where he really wanted anyone that disagreed with him to come forward. All right, Nick, I think we've got you on the air now.
I sure hope so. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we do, Nick. We do. I appreciate it. First of all, your raw response yesterday when word came out about the shooting and the death of Charlie.
It was just an absolute tragedy when we saw it. And, I mean, I feel like, unlike a lot of past assassinations, we saw it play out across social media, videos close up, and I think it really rung out to close to home to Americans. It was shocking, absolutely shocking. And the fact that we've built up to this point, it's really unfortunate where we find ourselves as a nation, that we choose violence over a difference of opinion.
One of the analysts on MSNBC, who has since been let go, suggested that Charlie was filled with hate-type rhetoric and that hate begat hate. Your response?
Oh, it was just absurd, especially in the moments immediately after, to put out a statement like that is just absolutely abhorrent. But that is not the case at all. And Charlie and other folks, whether they're elected or activists, who are just outspoken in their opinions, that's part of the American way. It's part of our society to be able to express our opinions, to have debate, even contentious debate. And the fact that so many folks in society now want to not just cancel individuals, but now permanently silence individuals, is absolutely the wrong direction.
What do you think?
Any insinuation otherwise is absurd.
What do you think the response will be within the young community, universities, young Republicans, in response to this? What response should we expect?
We have heard that we need to come together. We need to rally behind his legacy, as well as other folks who are going to continue to speak out. Acts of terrorism, foreign or domestic, are always designed to try to alter our actions, to silence you or change something. And what we need to do is say, we're not going to do that. We're going to continue to be outspoken. We're going to continue to say, we need a new direction in this country, and we need to turn the page on these kind of actions. And I think a lot of young people have been saying that across social media. I think there's a lot of shock. There's a lot of anger out there. But what we need to do is move forward together and united. And I think young Americans in particular are ready to pick up that flag and lead the charge on that.
If the point was to silence Charlie Kirk and kill the message, they killed the messenger, but you see the message will survive.
Absolutely. Organizations such as ours, the National Young Republicans, Turning Point, to even just the Republican Party itself, numerous activist groups, we're not turning away. We're going to continue to walk forward. We're going to continue to carry this message because it's our future. It's our life, and we're not going to be silenced, and we're going to ensure that Charlie's legacy continues to live on, inspiring not just ours, the millennial and Gen Z generation, but future generations for years to come.
And that's the point. It's the generations yet to come. And that would include many that are too young to know what happened yesterday, very much like too young to know what happened on this date 24 years ago, until later they grow up and they see it or hear about it. But they were not caught in that emotion at that moment. You've got a lot of young people below you, maybe in through 6th, 7th grade, and they may kind of have a passing glance at what's happening, but it's not really absorbing them.
Absolutely. And while a dark moment, I think, represents an opportunity to not just show what shouldn't happen in our country, but to provide an example of the positive things that he stood for and the conservative movement stands for, and to carry off that legacy and continue to educate not only our fellow peers, but that next generation, folks that are just not that far behind us, who are going to be voting before you know it. And that's going to be our job and our mission.
Well, the New York Times editorial board, and of course, has never been gentle on conservatives, nor Charlie Kirk, nor President Trump, offered condolences in an editorial published today. This editorial board disagreed with Mr. Kirk on many policy questions, and we were unreservedly horrified by his killing. We grieve for his loved ones. We mourn his death. Does that echo true or hollow?
I hope that it sure does echo true. I think that a lot of folks can get carried away. And I think as a country, we've often gotten too far ahead of ourselves and our emotions and feelings over facts. And I hope that this action, the attempted assassination of President Trump last year, just the general choice of political violence, people, it's a wake-up call, and they choose to know, even if they were contributing to the atmosphere out there, that this is a turning point for them and a wake-up call.
Do you think within your ranks or any similar ranks of, quote, conservatism, however you want to label it, there are those that mm-hmm. want revenge to avenge his death? And I'm talking about by taking direct action.
I think that emotions always run high, but from what I've seen, it's a passionate response, but a tempered one. For folks saying that this is not going to be the end of the line, we need to pick up the movement. We need to keep pushing forward, and I think that's the right direction. I don't think the choice of violence in the face of violence will get us anywhere as a country. That's not how we were built. Our institutions are there for a reason, and we need to come together and turn the page on this. And that's what I've largely seen. So I am happy to see that people are not looking to go that direction.
Good. Nick Ratinger, I agree with you. He is a vice chair of Young Republicans, active in Wisconsin. I appreciate your time, sir, and your thoughts.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you having me on.
You bet. Yeah, there's no way Charlie Kirk would want folks to go into the street with a gun. Maybe a prayer. Coming up, 9/11.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free, quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545, 689-0545. This is PRI Global. And recently, the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545, 689-0545, or go direct PRIGlobal.ai, PRIGlobal.ai. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service.
Yeah.
You've worked hard for your money, so protect it. Meet my friend Bob Leslie and ask about the Gain and Retain plan. Leslie Consulting, 40 years in the St. Louis area as a leader in brokerage and risk management. Call 314-721-0066, 721-0066. Oh, and ask Bob how he was the L.A. Dodger number one pick. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
American 11, are you trying to call?
The cockpit is not answering their phone. Our number one has been staffed, and our five has been staffed.
Hey, I'm going to call from Washington. I have a situation with American 11, a possible hijack.
What's going on, Betty? The aircraft is erratic again. Problem, are you ready? Betty, talk to me. Betty,
are you there?
Betty? Betty?
A plane just hit the World Trade Center.
What?
The 737?
It what?
Like the World Trade Center.
Who are you talking to? Oh, God. Oh, my God.
United 175, New York. We have some problems over here right now. We might have a hijack over here, two of them.
Moments after that, father, husband, left a voice recording on his home recorder for his family, trying to reach him in his closing moments of life. They weren't home to get the answer directly, to tell them that he was probably going to die, but he wanted them to know how much he loved them and wanted them to have a good life. Those words quickly culminate in images that you recall, do they not? I don't take credit for the sound bites that we have gathered here, but they came from a compilation of sources, so I can't even begin to identify each and every one. But we're retelling the story the best we can of what happened on this date, September 11, 24 years ago. September 11, 2001. Where were you when you first got word and heard about it? I know you remember. But you also know in our midst we have many that were not even born at that point. And many born since then have learned little, maybe, at annual observations and memorials. And for those of you who think, well, how can they not know? How can they not be that informed? Well, with today's internet and everything, it's a legitimate question, but you also have to keep in mind the bearing and the weight of the event upon young people as they're growing up. When I was growing up, I knew about Pearl Harbor, but I did not know specifics of it, and we were taught very little. But this was the modern-day Pearl Harbor for our nation. Pray that we don't have another one. It began that morning when the leader of the ring flew American Airlines Flight 11 into the North Tower of the World Trade Center at 8:46 that morning. 17 minutes later at 9:03, United Airlines Flight 175 hit the South Tower. And both collapsed within an hour and 40 2 minutes. And I remember my daughter had called to tell me that a plane had hit the World Trade Center. And before I can turn on the TV, in my mind, I'm thinking, they had to have disastrous weather. How can a commercial jet liner be off course and hit the World Trade Center? And when the TV screen popped up, it's clear blue sky, smoke pouring from the top of one of the buildings. And then I see the second plane hit. And I know we're under attack. And rushing down to the TV station at that time, I'm listening to a report from CBS, and the reporter is talking about the buildings collapse. And I'm thinking, how dare you take this tragedy and sensationalize it to say the buildings collapse? The buildings collapse would have meant the whole building came down. I didn't know until I got in the studio and walked in and saw the second building collapse, that it was not sensational reporting, accurate reporting. And that's two of the four planes that were hijacked. There was another one aiming at the Pentagon.
Pentagon just got hit. Don't say that. God damn it, I can't even protect my NCA.
United 93, that traffic for you is 1 o'clock, 12 miles eastbound, 370.
Negative contact, we're looking at United 93.
United 93, Cleveland, if you hear the center right then.
They got that piece of dock. Keep remaining to be. You have a ball board.
Tuesday.
Hi, baby. Baby, you have to listen to me carefully. I'm on a plane that's been hijacked. I'm on the plane. I'm calling from the plane. I want to tell you I love you. Please tell my children that I love them very much. And I'm so sorry, babe. I hope to be able to see your face again, baby. I love you. Bye.
What would you do if you get home and see a voice recording that you missed, and you open it up to that? It drops you to your knees, and you cave inside. It does me, and I did not know that person. I didn't know anyone on the planes or in the World Trade Centers. But just listening to that woman with her one last chance to talk to her husband. That was the plane that United Airlines Flight 93 that hit into the Pentagon, causing a partial collapse. Now, it was believed it was probably going to target either the U.S. Capitol or the White House. Correction on that, though, when there's another plane that they considered. This was American Airlines Flight 77. That crashed into the Pentagon at 9:37. United Airlines Flight 93 was believed to be en route to hit either the U.S. Capitol or the White House, but the passengers by now had been alerted to the fact that we may be on a hijacked plane. We're not going where we think we are. We need to try to get control back from the hijackers. They were unsuccessful.
We're 56865. We have I believe it is a Boeing 757. Can you see him up there, sir?
That's confirmed. It looks like he's rocking his wings.
Roger.
He's rocking back and forth.
We're 56865. I advise you stay away from that aircraft. Go north as fast as you can.
United 93, have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land?
He did not land.
Oh, he's down?
Yes,
down?
Somewhere up northeast of Camp David.
Honestly, I just wanted to let you know I love you, and I'm stuck in this building in New York. There's lots of smoke, and I just wanted you to know that I love you always.
At number 2 World Trade Center, right? Maybe the shoe is in the walk, and we're not ready to die, but it's getting bad.
That was one of those in the World Trade Center. There were those who so desperately, and it's understandable, and yet at the same time, heartbreaking in the sense that they realized they were not going to be rescued, and they jumped from the World Trade Center. One fire chief described that we were standing in an atrium area in the lobby of one of them. We were hearing thumping, and we thought, what is that? And the building came, no, it was bodies hitting above them. And, of course, then eventually the buildings did come down. But you go back to that date. If you witnessed or saw it live that day, or you later saw it on video, or as the events were playing out, September 11, 2001, 24 years ago, this date, and these images and sounds are still with us, whether or not I play this audio, whether or not you watch it on TV. And there is a discussion, as always, within radio, I should say TV stations, should we show it again? I have an answer on that. I'll come back to that in a moment. But yes, the visions, the images, the audio is haunting, especially when you realize many of these victims had little chance of surviving.
I'm on the 83rd floor.
No,
I'm going to die.
Ma'am, say your prayers.
God.
We're going to think positive because you got to help each other get off the floor.
I'm
going
to die. I know.
That last woman crying out, I'm going to die, said she was on the 83rd floor. The operator's trying to keep her calm. And then the buildings as a whole did begin to collapse. Those who had run inside to rescue them, firefighters, police personnel, they were caught in the same buildings. That led to the greatest number of firefighters killed in one incident. A total of 2,977 killed directly, injuring thousands more. 343 firefighters died that day, and they were in those buildings to save lives. 72 members of law enforcement were trying to do the same thing. There's no way you can imagine what they were going through, especially if they were in the second tower to collapse after watching the first go down. I'd mentioned earlier that to this day, I know there are debates in newsrooms. Now, maybe next year it will change because it'll be, quote, the 25th anniversary. But I know as long as I was at a TV station, I insisted that every anniversary date, we replay some of that footage. We don't necessarily have to have the jet crashing directly into the building, and yet I really wanted it to be done. We don't necessarily have to have the buildings collapsing fully, and yet I wanted it to be done. Because I wanted it to be re-impressed on the generation that experienced it to not forget it, and to those who had not been exposed to it, not for shock value, but as a reminder of this country and those who hate us so much that they would carry out such an act. And I personally would, if in charge of a TV station, would insist that footage be run. I know there's some that say, well, that's just you're trying to play for numbers. No, I'm playing for a reminder. There have been memorials all over our nation today, including President Trump taking place in one. And they're genuine, and they reflect true concern and mourning. But too many have already forgotten the shock that came that day. President Trump announced that night on air that we have identified the enemy, we're going to go after them, and that got us, in addition to those killed that day and who later died because of illnesses contracted while trying to retrieve bodies or injuries they suffered, we have our U.S. troops who were killed in Iraq and Afghanistan in the hunt for Osama bin Laden. Bin Laden would be tracked down eventually and killed. But we were in a different world then. And ever since then, it has become evident to us there are people around the world that hate our nation so much, they would duplicate that again if they could. Can we take that massive expanse of fear and center it on where we are the day after the Charlie Kirk assassination? We cannot live like this. We can die like this. But I want to see us survive and become a bigger, stronger country and the world. Pray it never happens again. But also make sure it is not forgotten. As always, I thank you for joining us. You can always pull up this podcast of this program and share it with others. LarryConnorsUSA.com. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.